We turn now to the reading of Scripture in Psalm 25. As a separate and distinct element of worship, we read the inspired Word of God, Psalm 25. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me, for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn Thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring Thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. We read that far in God's holy word. The verses that we specially consider in this psalm or prayer of David are verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 25. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. There's one question for our self-examination for you to consider through this sermon and through this week and through your life. And that question is this: am I teachable? Young man, young woman, you as a student who is about to start school, or who have already started school, going to grade school, high school, college, or you parents, teachers, people of God, all of you who are really students, or ought to view yourselves as such, was asked that important question now and through our lives, and through the school year, am I teachable? Am I willing to learn? Am I open to instruction? Do I have a teachable spirit and attitude and demeanor? Am I receptive to instruction that comes from God, from those who are over me in authority, and even perhaps from those who are lesser, or whom I view as lesser? Am I open to instruction? Or does my pride get in the way? Do I think that I already know it all? Or know more than those teachers and those parents and those children? Do I think that since I'm smart, and many of you are, there's not much to learn, especially from them who aren't as smart as me? Does pride hinder my teachable attitude? Or am I indifferent? Another way to put it, am I bored? I immediately judge that the stuff that these people are trying to teach me in the classroom or in the home, that all this is not worthwhile, not important to me. It's not interesting. It's not useful. Or am I lazy? Proud, indifferent, or lazy? Or all three? And I know I should be working. I know I should be engaged with my brain and with my heart even, trying hard, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like taking the notes. I don't feel like listening. It's too difficult. I don't want to work at it. Am I teachable? Or am I proud, lazy, or indifferent? Every godly teacher in school this year, every instructor, every professor, every catechism instructor desires this characteristic of their students. Not that they're extremely intelligent and all the subjects come really easy to them, or that they're extremely gifted, but that their students are teachable. But that's not only the desire of godly teachers. That's what God wants. That's what God calls us to. That we be teachable. Because if you're not teachable, then you cannot pray this prayer that God shows us we ought to pray. The text. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. That is a prayer of a teachable man and a teachable woman. David wrote this prayer, Psalm 25, in difficult circumstances. He speaks of enemies in two different verses, which seek to triumph over him, which seek to shame him. In verses 2 and 3, he speaks of these enemies hating him. In verse 19 also, he pleads with God to help him as he faces these enemies, as they trouble him. Redeem, he says at the end, Israel, of all their troubles. As he faces these unnamed enemies and the troubles that they bring upon him, David includes in this plea not only a desire to be saved from these troubles, but a plea for forgiveness. Notice that in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. And then later on in verse 11 and verse 18, those verses also indicate a repetition of the same plea. Pardon my iniquities. Forgive my sins. They are great. And this indicates two things. One, that David is an older man. He's an experienced man now. He speaks of how he needs God to remember not the sins of my youth. As an older man, he remembers his own sins and many of them, and he asks God to cover all of them in the past. And secondly, David's recognizing that even though enemies were the cause of his problems, the reason for his problems and troubles, yet there was another reason. These troubles were coming upon him as consequences for his own sins. David remembers his sins with Bathsheba. He remembered his sins as a parent and the neglect of his children. And now he knows that there are consequences, chastisements which God brings upon him as a result of his sins. And these troubles remind him of that. So he says, "Forgive, Lord, pardon." In such circumstances, David prays, not only help me in my troubles, not only forgive my iniquities, but also teach me. Teach me. As the school year and study season and classes and work and troubles come upon us, also during such a study season, I call you both young and old, like David, to meditate with me on this prayer for a few moments. To meditate on it and to learn to pray it with sincerity, that is, with a teachable spirit. First, the meaning. Second, the prayer. And then finally, the basis. The meaning, the prayer, and the basis. In our text, there are three requests, notice. Three requests. Show me, teach me, lead me. Three main requests. And we could simply say at the start that these three are all synonyms, since they are. And we could move on. They all mean teach me, but then we would not get the full idea of David's plea. While these are synonyms, what David is bringing out with these three words is emphasizing a slightly different manner in which he wants God to teach him. He's expressing how he wants God to teach him. Instruct me, David prays. Instruct me in these three ways, by showing me, by teaching me, by leading me. This is the heart of a man or woman with a teachable spirit. Show me, first of all. To show, think of it. What does that conjure up in your mind? It's to display, to demonstrate so clearly to the mind of another that now the student understands a concept enough to use it in his or her judgments, in his or her life. To understand what David means by this, let's go to the classroom, children. Fast forward a couple days ahead to math class. Your teacher explains a math concept of multiplication. He or she might refer you to a book, a textbook, which explains with words the idea of multiplication. And then the teacher might give you multiplication flashcards and have you memorize those flashcards. What's 6 times 7? What's 8 times 8? What's 5 times 6? And you need to regurgitate those facts immediately. And a student, as he or she reads the concepts, hears the teacher's explanation verbally, and memorizes these concepts or these math facts, may not yet get it. He or she might not yet understand the concept of multiplication. And so he or she asks the teacher, "Show me, demonstrate to me what multiplication is. I can regurgitate to you these facts, but I don't really get it yet." And so the teacher, perhaps by writing on the whiteboard or maybe getting out coins, some sort of visual aid, groups coins. 8 coins here, another 8 coins here, another 8 coins here, and helps the students see if there are 8 coins in one group, and there are 8 groups of 8 coins. That shows 8 times 8 equals 64. And it goes on. The light bulb goes on. It clicks. That is an illustration of a teacher showing, demonstrating, so that now the student doesn't just know it from memory, what 8 times 8 equals, but can explain why in his or her own words and can use that concept in other problems. Another illustration is this. In catechism class, the student sometimes just memorizes the questions and answers of the catechism book or the Heidelberg Catechism, not really understanding what it means. And so the child asks his parents, and the child should ask his or her parents, or he or she asks the pastor in class. And now the parent or the pastor has the duty to show, usually with an illustration, a picture, a story, concepts that illustrate the doctrine, let's say, of providence. Perhaps the pastor will say, "Look at my hand." Scripture speaks of the hand of God who actually moves to hold up everything. And with every movement that you see in all of creation, it is as if God with his hand moves. Trees moves, the people moves, the cars. And with these illustrations, the child gets it. What providence is about. The prayer of David is this prayer, the prayer of every godly student. Show me so that I'm not just able to regurgitate these facts and tell you the answer to the question and get an A on the test perhaps, but show me so that I can discern, I can perceive a contradiction in doctrine, so that I can make logical connections with one concept to another, so that I can use these concepts in real life situations. Show me, demonstrate to me. Help my teachers, help my pastor, help my parents, students pray, to show me the truth so that I get it. I truly get it. There are aspects of our Christian education in the home, the church, and the school that need to improve on this. I'll be very blunt. There are times when our students leave the classroom, they can get a good grade, they can give you the right answer, but they haven't really been shown. They can't use that knowledge. It doesn't really make sense to them so that they can use it in their day-to-day judgments. And we need to work on that. We need to be able to show to our children. Our children need to be able to grasp so they can think critically, make discernment, discerning judgments, and relate concept to concept in all of life. Second, teach me. That word, as I said, is a synonym to show me, but it's a word in the original that involves activity. We can translate it this way. Exercise me. That's what teach me means. Practice me. Make the theoretical a real-life experience for me, a hands-on experience. Help me to do this. So go back to the classroom. Let's illustrate it again. In math class, the teacher has shown you a multiplication concept, students, and you understand it perhaps, the concept. You see the illustration of coins, the drawing on the board perhaps, you get it. But now you need to get better at it, at using this multiplication concept. And so your teacher might give you an assignment, may give you a list of problems to practice multiplication. Word problems. Maybe she might or he might even give you those coins and ask you to separate those coins in the piles for the problems that are given to you, so that with your hands, with your mind, there's an exercise in these concepts. That's the idea of teach me. In catechism class, the pastor might play devil's advocate. So you know the doctrine of providence, you get it now. But what if someone comes up to you and says, then you are not responsible for your sin? And now the student is forced to understand providence and grapple with man's responsibility at the same time and try to understand both. They're exercised in these doctrines and these concepts. Show me and exercise me, or teach me, is the prayer of the psalmist. And third, the plea is lead me. Lead me. Again, a synonym, but what comes out, the new idea, is that of empowerment. The word is translated literally, cause me to walk. Cause me to tread. Think of it this way. Brings up the familiar illustration of living your life as though you're walking on a path. But now take me by the hand, so to speak, and help me along. Help me to do the very concepts that I have learned, that I've practiced myself in. Help me to apply it. To go back to the similar illustration with the student learning math and multiplication, he goes to the store and he wants to purchase something, and he's having a hard time figuring out multiplication. And so perhaps he might call his teacher, and his teacher leads him. Remember the concept? Let's see how it applies here in your situation. And she helps him through that real life situation. Think of the catechism student who's learned the concept of providence, but then in real life situation, he or she struggles with a loss, with a failure, with death, with a tragedy. And the student seeks counseling from his pastor, her pastor, or a parent. The pastor or parent says, remember what you've learned about providence. Now let's apply it with trust today in this real life situation. That God works all things for your good. And He leads. And an understanding of that truth in real life circumstance. This is something that the student, the child of God, seeks. Show me, teach me, lead me. That is, display to me so clearly that I can use it. Practice me or exercise me in it. And then empower me so that I walk according to it. And now notice the student seeks this not, first of all, from a teacher at school or even from a pastor or a parent, but the student seeks this from God. It's a prayer to God. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. The meaning is that God is our master teacher. He ultimately is our instructor. Of course, that's not to the exclusion of these earthly means of parents and teachers. In fact, students, a proper application of this passage is that God, the master teacher, uses your Christian education in this week and in these next months to teach you. But here's the point. Your parents, your pastor, your teachers, any earthly instructor is weak. They don't know everything. You're right, they don't. They won't teach you as well as they should. They have flaws. They are sinful. The best teacher in the best teachers in the world will sometimes teach the wrong thing. And you must be aware of that. And so it's important to notice a simple but profound point. Godly students do not rely on man for their instruction. Not man alone. But godly students rely ultimately on God for their instruction, realizing that God uses means. The prayer of the student at the beginning of this year is, God, Lord, teach thou me. Help me to learn from thee. Think about show me, teach me, lead me again. Earthly teachers, parents, sometimes don't help us get from the theoretical to the concrete very well, from the abstract to real life situations. We're asking God to work that in us, to show me. Sometimes teachers don't help us exercise it as well as they should. We're praying, God, exercise me in the truth. And it's impossible for parents and teachers and pastors always to be there to lead in real life situations, to apply these truths and concepts. But we have God who is always there, upon whom we depend to lead us and empower us to apply His truth in every step of the way. Be my teacher, O God, that's the meaning. This year and every year. And be my teacher not only about math and science and so on, but be my teacher about thyself. It's not only that God teaches us, but that God teaches us about Himself. Show me thy ways. Not just Newton's laws, not just the scientific method, not just Robert Frost poems, not even just David, King David's history and life lessons, but show me thy ways, O God. This is the attempt and the aim of Reformed education, that each teacher, no matter the subject, seeks in as much as she is able or he is able to show God, to show how big God is in astronomy, to show how wise God is in the design of human anatomy, to show how orderly God is in the realm of mathematics, to show how gracious God is in the life of David, to show how beautiful God is through words and poetry, to show God, to reveal God in every subject. May God use our Christian schools and parents to help godly students learn about Him in answer to this prayer. The students, pray for your teachers. It's a difficult work. I pray for your teachers that God would use them to show you Himself. To show you truth. Lead me in thy truth. No lies. Truth, only truth. And to show me, to show you how to live according to it. That's the meaning of this text, but now meditate with me on the point that has been implied but not made explicit, and that is, this is a prayer. Not a command, but a prayer. Not thou shalt learn this way, or thou shalt teach this way, but a prayer. Teach me. It's a prayer that is meant to be memorized and prayed along with David. The point that draws that out in the original Hebrew text, which doesn't come out in the English, is that each verse in Psalm 25 begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from A to Z, so to speak. The Hebrew alphabet has different letters in the English language. Why? So that someone who reads David's prayer might be able to memorize it easier and pray along with David the same prayer. Inspired by the Spirit, this prayer is meant to be taken upon the lips of each child of God. And this prayer, especially as we consider it tonight, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Do you pray this? Do you pray this regularly? Are you praying this at the beginning of the school year? Are you going to pray this? Are you going to pray this as you study, as you sit in the classroom? Is this prayer that you take upon your lips not only, but pray from your heart? Teach me. Make this as one of your goals, students, every morning this year. Every morning when you wake up, you get ready for school and you have some quiet time, your devotions, make one of your petitions this very one. I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, are you teachable? Something you need to examine yourself in. Well, we're not as teachable as we should be. None of us are. But praying this petition, God will use to make you more teachable as you should be. In praying this, God will humble you to make you feel like you don't know it all. In praying this, God will take away the boredom and the laziness that you are so prone to and I'm so prone to. In praying this, teach me, O Lord, your heart will be more receptive to His instruction and the instruction that He uses others to give to you. It is a prayer to be prayed sincerely for yourself. That's an important point, too. Notice the me pronoun repeated, show me, teach me, lead me, teach me. That doesn't indicate a selfishness. It doesn't indicate a self-focus. David prays about other things too in other petitions. But it indicates that David is focused on his own weakness and his own need to learn. Beware, people of God. Beware. It is easy for us to fall in this error, this way of thinking, even as you sit here in church this evening, listening to this sermon or any sermon for that matter. You and I love to apply God's word to other people. You and I don't want to apply it to self. And perhaps you're thinking as a parent this evening, I hope my lazy teenage son or daughter is listening. Or as a teacher, I hope all my students are listening tonight. I want teachable ones come Tuesday. Or perhaps you're a good student and you're thinking, I know who needs to work on this. I'm not very good in class. Or you might be thinking with a critical spirit as a student, I think our teachers need to be better at showing, teaching, and leading. And there's some truth to this, that you need to pray for your children, parents, and that children, you need to pray for your teachers in this, and we should all pray for one another. But the main point, don't miss the focus, is that you're praying for yourself. I am the one that needs to be taught most of all. That's the heart of the believer. I need to learn. It's tough for you who are intelligent folk out there to admit it. You who are used to thinking of others as less intelligent than yourself. But you and I need to humble ourselves and say, I need to learn. Teach me, the man or woman, the young man, the young woman, the older man or older woman who doesn't feel like he has much more to learn, probably has the most to learn. Teach me. The prayer is for the self. And really, notice that the prayer is for self by one of the most learned men in all of history, King David. Who's praying this prayer? When was he praying this again in his lifetime? This was King David. This is King David, we already said in the introduction, who is an experienced man, who's older, who's later on in his lifetime, who's thinking back about his past sins. He's learned from experience. He's had the best teachers and counselors as the king. He's learned from his sins and mistakes. He's had many real-life situations. He wrote Psalms. He knew a lot. And David doesn't say, teach them. Teach them a lesson. They need to learn. Those subjects of mine who are less experienced and less intelligent than me, they need to learn. Rather, he says, teach me. When I am old and gray, even as a king, even as an experienced parent and king, I need to learn still. And any good teacher knows. Any good teacher knows. He or she can never stop learning because the best teacher is first of all the best student. So the teachers are praying, teach me. And God's people who come to church are praying before God's word, teach me. At the beginning of Bible study season, they're praying, I don't know everything in the Bible, teach me. As I go through life situations in the home, in conflicts, in marriage, in sickness, teach me. Teach me. Lord, teach me. Teach me the way that I need to be taught. Each of us has unique needs. Now we shift a little bit to understand that this prayer is not just to be taught in the classroom. That's not really the main focus of David. The prayer here is that I be taught in all of life by God, including the classroom, but in all of life. Because I need to be taught not only in the subjects of English and math and history and so on, but I need to be taught in social norms and relationships. I need to be taught in humility. I need to be taught in patience. I need to be taught in holy living. I need to be taught in theology. I need to be taught to fight against my anger and my bitterness. I need to be taught intellectually, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, all the different aspects of life. And so often, I don't know how I need to be taught. I'm blind to it. God, teach me in the specific way that I need to learn. Because I myself don't know how I need to be taught. Thou art the wise God who has formed me. Thou dost know me. Thou hast governed my life in the way that it should go. Now teach me to learn. To learn patience even when I don't think I need to learn more patience. To learn forgiveness, even when I don't feel like learning forgiveness. To learn unselfishness, even though I feel like I've sacrificed enough. You see, children, today, when you think about learning and being taught, think not only of the instruction you might receive from a teacher as she or he stands in front of the whiteboard or gives you assignments, but think about the instruction you will receive in the hallways. That you're standing by your locker and you're interacting with other people, other students. Think about the instruction that you will receive as you are on the sports field. Think about the instruction you will receive as sins are committed against you. Think about the instruction you receive when teachers and faculty perhaps may not treat you rightly. Think about the instruction that you will receive and the flaws and the mistakes and then the troubles that come as a result of the flaws and the mistakes of others in your life. You see, that brings us to what David was facing, doesn't it? He wasn't facing a classroom, though it's applicable to that. He was facing the troubles of enemies. When David penned this psalm, he was probably in the midst of circumstances when Absalom, his son, had forsaken him, and many, many who were once his friends or said they were now join Absalom and usurping the throne and seeking to kill King David. That's why he speaks of enemies in our text. He had been hurt by family. He had been hurt by his own child. He had been hurt by enemies in his nation. People were speaking lies about him, seeking to manipulate him. He didn't know who to trust. There was gossip all around. And David does not pray, notice. Lord, take me out of this situation. Remove it all from me. I don't want to face it. But rather, teach me. Teach me. Two specific points in regard to facing troubles. Teach me during this trouble. As David faces the grief and pain and difficult emotions arise, you faced it before, you can identify with this. And those emotions cloud clear thinking. As you're in the midst of a situation, as David was in the midst of his situation, the stress, the grief, the anger, he knew he could easily make the wrong decisions. He knew that he could easily lash out in vengeance. He knew he could, with his emotions on the high, be caught up in the moment, go the wrong route, make the wrong decision against God's word, And so what he's saying here is this. Lord, when the emotions are high, when clear thinking is so difficult and emotions are clouding my judgment, teach me to make the right decision, to make the right choice. That's what he repeats later on in Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He knows God will teach him the way that he should choose. And that's what he prays for. Help me to choose rightly. Help me not to just do whatever I want, whatever feels right, whatever man says, but help me to do what you say, Lord. To make wise decisions. Teach me, David says, secondly, with respect to his troubles, teach me by the trial. Not only during the trial to make the right choice, but by the trial. Remember, David knew that these were chastisements. Chastisements are not punishments, not brought to pay David back for his sin. David knew the coming atonement, and he was forgiven. But he knew that chastisement comes to teach us. And so David prays, through these troubles, help me to learn the lesson that thou dost have for me to learn. Even if they're brought at the hand of the enemy, help me to learn the lesson, the patience, the humility that I need to learn. Students, when you face your own sin, when you face sins of others against you, when you face the gossip or the bullying that you may face this year, you might want to lash out in anger against a teacher, perhaps, against another student, go on your rant about how flawed and weak my school, my church, my teachers are. Don't pray this, rather. Pray this as David prayed in your trouble at school, in your trouble through this year, in your trouble with sinful people that you are with. Teach me to make the right choices through this. Teach me the lessons I need to learn as you sovereignly govern my life in this place. Are you teachable? Do you recognize God, the master teacher, teaching you, even tonight, even through troubles? The basis that David prays this, he says, is for thou art the God of my salvation. David here is explaining why he trusts God's teaching of him through trouble. Because, O God, you are the God of my salvation. 2 points briefly. First, David knew that God had saved him already. Past tense. His identity is the God of my salvation. David knew God had saved him already. God had chosen him. God had elected him. God had loved him from eternity. God had forgiven him. God had saved him from his enemies. In new past tense, God had saved him, and we do too. Even more clearly than David, God has saved us. God has elected us. God has chosen us in love from eternity. God has loved us in Jesus Christ. God has sent his only Son to die for us, to suffer in our place, to earn for us perfect righteousness, to give unto us forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. He has saved us in the past tense. He's the God of our salvation. But now secondly, that doesn't change. David doesn't say, God was the God of my salvation. Because God is the unchangeable God, the immutable God. God is the God of my salvation. He's always the God of my salvation. He is right now the God of my salvation. which means this. His teaching is part of his saving work. And David says, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, your instruction, your teaching of me. I want you to teach me. Because I know, he means, that all these troubles that you're bringing upon me is your way of teaching me in the life of sanctification, to save me, to mold me, to conform me into the image of Jesus Christ, to make me more and more like your Son. And so I wait all the day upon you. He ends. I don't just depend on you for instruction during the school year, not just in the classroom, but I wait upon you and your instruction of me through my life, all the day long, every minute of every day I seek to do that. To make this very practical, this is what the student, all of us are students, does. The student prays every morning, teach me. And then secondly, he asks this question throughout the day, all the day long. God, the God of my salvation, what are you teaching me through this? All the day long, ask. What are you teaching me through this, the student may ask, as he sits in a class that he already knows the content of. What are you teaching me through this, Lord? A teacher might sin against you. Ask, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? You might have drama in your relationships, a breakup in a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, a hardship in life. Instead of having a quitter mentality, I give up. As a parent, I give up. As a student, I give up. As a wife or as a husband, I give up. Rather ask, what is the Lord teaching me? Help me to learn it, Lord. All the day I wait on you. Are you teachable? Let it be. Amen. Father, thou art the master teacher. Thy salvation includes thy teaching of us. So we pray, even if it means troubles, hardships, show us, teach us, exercise us, lead us in truth, in life, this school year, our whole life, on thee do we wait all the day through Jesus Christ and by his power. Amen.